Can I just start by asking you your full name?
My?
Your name?
Yes, Eric Wright.
Right.
Commonly known as Chump.
Were you born in Quindon?
I was born, Bricklin. One of six children. My father was farm bailiff at Rickling Hall for the Tabbitt family and for the Scandalberry family. He worked for the Scandalberry family before Tabbitt's bought the place. You'll see in the book in there that the hall was run down and unoccupied prior to Mr. Tabbitt buying it, but in fact it was the Scandalberry family in there, so I don't know where they got the information from because my father worked for them. But anyway, where was it? Yes, what used to happen was the men... Oh, did we get to the bit where the Rat and
Sparrow Club? No, tell me about the Rat and Sparrow Club.
Well, it was a club whereby all the men, or most of the men in the villages, Quindon and Rickling, were employed on farms. And at that time, it was prior to the rat poison era, so there was that many rats that they were an absolute menace. They undermined all the barns and they were in all the corn bins in the stacks. My father, as bailiff at Rickling Hall, used to reckon that two-thirds of his harvest was for humans and one-third was for rats and rooks, etc. Now, this Rat and Sparrow Club, you paid a shilling a year to be a member. You then undertook to supply the tally secretary with, I believe, it may have been 15 or 20 rat's tails and something in the region of 30 to 40 sparrow's heads, and that was part of your membership fee. A lot of the men couldn't make their quota, and that's where boys came into their own. We used to go off at night armed with torches, go around the haystacks and put your hand into the stacks and get these poor little birds out and just pull the heads off and pop them in a tin and throw the other bit away. Rats we used to cage. We used to set cages with a bit of gristle or something in, or a piece of fish. They used to seem to go for if you could get the centre bone of a kipper, they used to love that. We used to tie that in the cage. Two or three rats would go in, and then we used to use a pitchfork, throw the whole thing into the horse pond, drown the rats, and cut the tails off and take them to the tally man, and whoever was on his records as having not made his quota of tails before the rat and sparrow supper, we would perhaps get a penny each or something for these tails and perhaps a halfpenny for a head, sparrow's head. The sparrow's much easier to catch than the rats. On the sparrow supper, rat and sparrow supper, was held always in the Cricketer's Arms. It was male, completely male, except for the women who worked in the kitchen at the back preparing the food. Venison used to come down from Quindon Hall Estate. Pork used to come up from Mr. Adams, the farmer, lived in Quindon Street. Street farm, Quindon he lived. Sausages, he used to make the sausages. And he hadn't got very up-to-date equipment, so his sausage machine had lost its fine cutting plate. So the meat was very, very coarse in his sausage, but it was all meat. And they used to come out odd shapes. They used to come out, some were round, long and thin, depending on the skins that he managed to drag out of a sow. And basically, it was all a little bit crude. Now boys, I recall years of standing outside the top room at the pub where this feast used to be held, and us boys used to stand there, and Father used to come out to the toilet, which was a corrugated iron surround with an open top and no door. And they used to, each time they came out, they used to grab us a piece of meat or a slice of bread and slip it to us as they went past us towards the toilet. I would add here there were no hand washing facilities there. But we used to be there up until the end of the party. And then our next job was to try and help some of these blokes onto their bicycles to give them a push in the general direction. But by probably the next morning you'd see a few bicycles still lying over the green where they'd been abandoned the night before. But it used to be quite a party. I think I'm a little bit vague on what happened to it, but it finished up. And I seem to remember being there that we had the Rat and Sparrow Club dinner, or party, and I believe Mr. Hitchcock was the chairman of that year. He regretted that it would be the last one due to rationing and lack of members, because most of the members had been called up anyway. I believe, I hadn't realised this record was available at the time. It's the first time I've ever seen that record, actually.
This is the sort of minute book, isn't it?
Mini book, yeah. I haven't seen that before. But as far as I knew, there was never any minutes kept or any meetings held. It was all done over a pint in the pub. But I seem to recall Mr. Hitchcock announcing that the funds that were left, we would have stopped there till we'd drunk it, and we drank the rest of the money that was in the kitty, with a view to opening it up after the war. There was one old character in the village, William Patmore. Well, he was a very old man all the time I was a child, and he worked former father. He never got any older, so he died the same age as he looked when he was about 40, actually. Or in other words, he was probably about 40 and he looked 70. And he used to come out with these wonderful ideas, weird and wonderful sayings, would draw them out. And he said, instead of closing the Rat and Sparrow Club, we ought to keep the rats alive and bag the beggaring things up and drop them on Germany where they do more harm than our bombs would. And there might have been a lot of truth in that in many cases. And that was Bill Patmore. The prize, there used to be a prize every year for the one who caught the most rats. And at the time, Tinney and Hitchcock had a lot of chickens at Church End Farm. The place was alive with rats. You couldn't move a bag of anything without a rat running out. And this Walter Kelber, who was head chicken man up there, had a little terrier, and called Spider. And that little dog must have killed in his time thousands of rats. And I saw him throw him into a bin one day with about 12 rats in, and it killed those rats in as many seconds. It was a marvellous dog. So consequently, Walter Kelber always won the first prize for the most rats in the year. So when it was announced, the winner of this year's contest is Walter Kelber, everybody said, as usual. What else can I tell you? I can't tell you much more about it. Other than the fact that rats were a pest, we used to put hoses down holes in banks and wash them out, stand by with a stick and kill them. We did anything at all to get hold of these tails, which we sold to the members. Sparrows at that time, you could walk across the Rippling Hall stackyard and see as many as perhaps 12 to 14 wheat and barley and oat stacks in the yard. And as you walked across, this cloud of birds used to take off and corkscrew into the air. And as you left, they used to come down the same way and settle down, grabbing at the corn in those stacks. They were an absolute pest. And from the age of about 9, I used to sit in the hen house in the stackyard with a 410 shotgun and a box of cartridges and let these birds settle and then fire in amongst them. And we used to collect them in a bucket and then take them down to sell them the heads. We used to kill hundreds of them. And there was always just as many left. We couldn't get on top of them. Rooks were the same. I went with my brother one day, we shot, I think it was 160 rooks in one day. And there was just as many afterwards. And the top of the field where these rooks used to nest, the rookery up there, the top of that field was bare always. It was always sown, but it was always bare. And there was never any point in not sowing it.